Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Connections Radio. We have another great radio show lined up for everybody this evening, and we're so happy to see all the different feedbacks and comments that we've been getting from our radio audience about all the different shows we've been doing and the shows that we have planned for this year. As always, if you're trying to find out more about the radio show, you can find us on the internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And I'm going to go ahead and just introduce my co-host, Pam. Pam, are you out there?
I am out here. Nice to be on the air with everyone tonight.
Yeah, we have a special treat this evening. We're actually going to be bridging three time zones. And, of course, as we all know in the spiritual world, there's no such thing as time and space. We're actually, I know, Pam, you're out on the East Coast. I'm way out on the opposite end, out on L.A. on the West Coast. And we have our guest with us this evening from Colorado. So, Pam, I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce our special guest for this evening.
Good. We have some very special people tonight. A man by the name of Jonathan Goldman, who is an internationally renowned writer, musician, and teacher. He's in the field of harmonics, and I'll let him tell you a little bit more about what he does. His partner is with him, Andy Goldman, who is a licensed psychotherapist specializing in holistic counseling and sound therapy. She's a musician, teacher, sound healer. And I'll let her go into a little more about what she's all about, too. Can you say hello to us, Andy and Jonathan?
Well, hello, Pam. Hello, Mark. And hello to all of our listeners.
Hello, Mark. Hello, Pam. Hello, listeners. How are you all doing?
It's great to be here tonight.
Good.
It's a great opportunity, indeed. And, I got to say, Pam, that the hardest thing for me to do is to talk about myself. I will be glad, however, to talk about my wife, Andy, and tell you what a fabulous person she is.
Well, I could do that and talk about my husband and what a fabulous guy he is.
But we both love talking about sound, so it's okay. But I will say that on a level, I'm a Grammy nominee. I am the founder of the Sound Healers Association. I've been in this field for over 30 years. I'm the author of 6 award-winning books and over 25 CDs, and enough about me now. What about you for a minute? My wife, Andy, is a award-winning psychotherapist. She is perhaps the, if you like, spiritual mother of all coaching. Now, that is something she would never admit, but she actually, believe it or not, really literally invented the whole concept of coaching back in the 1990s and was written about in the New York Times Magazine. I never talk about that, but since we have the opportunity for a moment now, and she and I have been working together now we've been married and working together for 15 years, including having authored a book called, what was it called?
It was called Chakra Frequencies.
Oh, that's right. All right, Chakra Frequencies indeed.
But the main thing that Jonathan and I like to share is that really we have dedicated our lives to the path of service and bringing sound and information and education about sound as a healing modality to people. And that's really where our joy and our love is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's excellent. Yeah.
How did you get into the, as a psychotherapist, and Jonathan, were you always into music?
Well, I was indeed, but I had this experience, Pam, when I was, I date myself. I grow old. Shall I wear my trousers rolled? That's from J.F. or Proof Rock. Nevertheless, back in the late 1970s, I was playing in a rock and roll band in the seaside town of Marshfield, Massachusetts, which is on Cape Cod. And I was playing, and I came back from a break, and I plugged in my guitar. I was lead singer and lead guitarist, and we were playing original songs. And I became aware that the music that I was creating was helping induce an ambiance of negativity and violence. And now, no doubt, the alcohol and the other intoxicants that people imbibed in were also contributing to this atmosphere, but the music was too. And the thing was, I had been performing for about 15 years before that, so I still, to this day, do not know what exactly occurred, whether I got buzzed by a UFO or some sort of saintly light of God struck me that night when I was on stage, but it literally changed my consciousness, and about 2 weeks later, the thought entered my psyche of what if sound could be used to make people feel better and actually heal. And that was my story. Andy?
Oh, that sounds like a great story.
It is. That was a good story, yeah.
Right.
And that did open up the world of sound healing for Jonathan. For myself, being a holistic psychotherapist, my major focus was using expressive therapies, and sound certainly is one of the most experiential expressive therapies that, you know, one can use. And I met Jonathan, and, you know, this was probably about 18 years ago, and you know, as a therapist, and Jonathan as a pioneer in sound, you know, we talked about many ways in which we could combine our backgrounds, and that was actually when we decided to write Chakra Frequencies. And in our book, we have a lot of exercises and things that you can do to work with your own self-created sounds. And
yeah, now, I mean, most of our work actually involves using our own voice as a healing modality, and I would like to talk about that much, much more thoroughly in a moment with Andy. But Mark and Pam, since Mark, you happen to be one of the few beings on our planet who have queued up, I know, in your system, a recording from the Chakra Brainwave Harmonizer, which was done in association with the Chakra Frequency CD called The Heart Chakra. I thought perhaps you could play a little two-minute excerpt so people could hear this. And are we coming out stereo by chance?
I think so.
That would be great. This is actually a recording that not only balances the chakras, but it also simultaneously balances our brain waves. So, folks, if you're in your car, pull over. Okay.
All right, here we go.
interesting one, isn't it? To our knowledge, it is the first recording that simultaneously balances both our brain waves and our chakras, and that, of course, was the heart center, since we both really like to work with the energy of love. But that's something that Andy and I did together, and I think it even won some awards and stuff like that. But, you know, that's one major way that you can use sound is simply through listening. And through listening to different types of music, we can literally change our neurological system, our heartbeat, respiration, brain waves, and stuff like that. That's just one way.
Fascinating. Tell me something. Do you know, Jonathan, oh, this is really a question to both of you, Andy as well. Do you know anything about the little mobiles that they sell over cribs that play Mozart, Beethoven, and they're supposed to do the same thing in terms, not the chakra certainly, but they're supposed to align brain waves and literally make the child smarter. Have you ever heard that, and do you know anything about it? Does it relate to this?
If I were to say that, number one, the man who introduced us, who recently passed on by the name of Don Campbell, is the man who introduced the Mozart effect, which is, if you like, the belief that listening to certain types of music enhances, neural stimulation and helps babies become smarter. And outside of that, in terms of what you're exactly talking about, I can only suggest that... sounds like an interesting proposition. How about that?
Okay. So let's talk about the concept of sound in terms of do you know for sure that this straightens out your chakras and balances your brain waves because of the feedback you get from people that have listened to it, the healing that happens?
Well, I think right now, the first thing I'd like to say, I'd like to say yes, but that's always considered anecdotal, and scientists don't buy that. So if I said I knew for sure because of that, scientists would go, yeah, but. But now Andy is going to tell you about some scientific, if you like, benefits of self-created sounds, such as just humming or elongated vowel sounds, and this we know for sure because the scientists have proved it. Not that it's not true if the scientists haven't, but people have a tendency of putting a whole lot more credence in if some guy from NYU med school or whatever has proved it. Andy, tell us.
Well, I would be happy to. And, you know, Pam and Mark, even if one does something as simple as humming, for instance, if the four of us right now would all just begin to hum, we would just be going, and that, in that simple act of humming, many things have happened physiologically in terms of there has been more oxygen released in our cells, our blood pressure has been lowered, our heart rate has been lowered. We know that it increases melatonin. It also...
We got to say what melatonin is, and melatonin is that wonderful, basically, hormone that helps us either sleep at night, it adjusts the day-night circles, as well as basically being used for treatment of depression and even shrinkage of tumors. So here's a big yay for melatonin. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Okay.
So The interesting thing with melatonin is that in some recent research that I read, they're using melatonin as an antidepressant. They're trying that out as an antidepressant. And when we are working with sound, and especially with our own self-created sound, we begin to feel better. In fact, that's one of the major teachings that Jonathan and I share, is working with our own self-created sounds. It begins to bring in a balance, and we begin to feel less stress And, of course, that's a big factor in today's culture. And so melatonin is released when we use, when we were all just humming right now, and a series of other hormones are released as well.
The scientist in me must now insist on saying some of them include the release of endorphins, those wonderful self-created opiates that take away pain, the release of nitric oxide, not nitrous oxide, which is also a great pain reliever but used in dentist offices. Nitric oxide is a vascular dilator and is probably going to be found to be one of the major hormones associated with the healing process in the next decade. And let's see, I think maybe for us, the most important thing that happens in terms of neurochemicals being released when you make sound together is you get the release of oxytocin, which is the trust hormone. So when you make sound together, the barriers that exist between you disappear. And that is so important.
That's wonderful. So do you
Excellent.
Sing together?
We missed that.
I'm sorry. Do you two sing together? I said.
Oh well, we certainly make a lot of sound together.
I was going to say we hum together.
and we do. And Pam, we do sing together. And we do. We work more with sound as a self-created, such as toning and the ways in which we teach other people how to work with sound. You know, we might, work with the vowel sounds and, you know, toning the chakras with, you know, a specific vowel sound. And we tend to work more with sound rather than, you know, singing per se, although we do have fun and sing together and we play music together, and so that answers that question a little bit.
But a big do that I really think that we both, if you like, stress, in fact, I know we do, is in our work, we really try to, shall we say, like, good. The word just did a flyby with me, but instigate in the listener the understanding that anyone can use sound for healing, that we are all sound healers, and therefore we actually make a differentiation between sound and music so that people realize that they don't need a degree in music or any.
Well, I think that a lot of people have had experiences in their lives where they have sort of incorporated, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And Jonathan and I sort of, you know, call, you know, that that issue, you know, a wounded singer. And we really like to get across to people that that is not at all what working with sound as a healing modality is about. And so if people are hesitant to sing or they feel that they cannot sing or carry a tune, we just tell them that you can just totally let that go. It has absolutely no bearing on working with sound. And if you have a voice, which we all have a voice, you can work in a healing capacity in the realm of sound.
Lovely.
Now, you know,
Johnson.
Sorry, once again, we can continue on a topic for a while, so you can indeed say stop it, I got another one. But what I did want to say, you know, with regard to that is that really we, part of our purpose is really to reawaken in really the general population the awareness of sound and of self-created sound as a healing modality. You know how people now have sort of come to understand the concept of therapeutic touch and how natural that is?
Right.
Well, the same thing is true with voice. What happens, Pam, when you stub your toe? What do?
I yell.
Yeah. You know, Mark, need I ask you the same question?
There might be some cursing.
Yeah. And I'm laughing at that one. Do you know that they actually, see, unfortunately, the way the end result was that cursing literally helps you endure more pain. In reality, it's simply making sound. That's the way the university, stress they put on. But literally, making sound helps you endure more pain, and it's something we've done quite naturally ever since get-go. So just one of the examples of, hey, yeah, you know, you think about it, you know, we've been working with sound as a healing modality ever since we were born.
This is true. Well, I have 5 children, and every time I went into labor, it really helps to make noise when you go into a contraction. That's true.
Right. I mean, that is called either keening or moaning, or the term we now use is toning. And one of the phenomena that Andy and I like to talk about is the fact that when you make an intentionalized sound from an ah or an o or an e or even a hmm, and you add the concept, the energy of intention, it amplifies the power of the sound to literally heal. And, you know, once again, those different neurochemicals and things that got released when you made these sounds, if they're directed and specified toward a part of the body that is either in pain or in distress, it can be very, very healing.
And one of the things that I want to touch on right now, because, Jonathan, you just used the word intention, and that is such a powerful component in working with sound. And I think it was way back in the 80s, Jonathan, being a pioneer in this field, came up with a formula, and that formula is a frequency plus intent equals healing. Frequency, i.e. the sound, plus intention, the energy, the thoughts behind the sound, those two coupled together bring about healing. And it's been our experience that intention plays a very important role in working with sound.
Can I interrupt you for just a second, because I just have this aha moment that I want to ask about, to see if I'm on the right track. The whole concept of frequency in sound and intention, aligning the frequency to the body, for example, or the chakras, is it also true that everything is in motion? Matter has a frequency. So does sound tend to organize life? Like, for example, sometimes people walk into my house.
Yes. Listen, you know, I just have to really quickly say that, number one, everything in the universe is indeed in a state of vibration, as you say, and just because we can't hear something, because we hear from a range of around 16 of these cycles a second to around 16,000, but our friends in the ocean, dolphins can hear upwards of 180,000 cycles a second. So just because we can't hear it doesn't mean that there isn't a sound being created. With that in mind, every electron moving around the nucleus of an atom to the stars and distant galaxies having planets moving around them, they're all in motion, and this includes our bodies. Every organ, every bone, every tissue, every part of our body is in a state of vibration. It's in a state of sound. When we are in a state of sound health, we are like this wonderful orchestra that is creating the overall, if you like, symphony or suite of the self. But what happens if the second violin player loses their sheet music? They begin to play out of ease. They begin to play out of harmony. Pretty soon, this is akin to the body being out of ease or out of harmony when we say it's diseased. And the concept of using sound as a healing modality simply is that we are able to somehow restore the natural, healthy, resonant frequency back to that part of the body that was vibrating out of ease and out of harmony. I know that you know this.
I do. And as far as the concept of frequency plus intent equals healing, that is so powerful. Andy, thank you for mentioning that, because I absolutely love it. How did you come up with that, Jonathan?
Well, that one came up, over 25 years ago, Pam, and I have to tell you that I think it's one of the top three major discoveries that I personally have made. The other was A Personal Name of God, but that's a whole other conversation. But with this one, it happened to be that I was literally had just received my master's degree from Lesley University researching the uses of sound and music for healing, was compiling a book basically utilizing different systems of sound and music for healing, and I had a stack of papers that were a couple of feet high of different systems, and they would be from different doctors, scientists, spiritual masters, etc., and everything was great except for one thing. These different systems did not align with one another. Spiritual Master A might use one mantra to resonate a particular chakra, while Spiritual Master B might use a completely different mantra for the same chakra, or vice versa. Dr. X might use a frequency for one organ, and Dr. Y might use a completely different set of frequencies for the same organ, and yet they both agree. We're in, if you like, success in terms of how the outcome of the situation was. And I thought, how can this possibly be? How can this be? Because I come from a family of doctors, and it didn't make sense to me. And all of a sudden, this inner voice said, it is not only the frequency of the sound that creates its effect, but also the intention. And I wrote down frequency plus intent 25 years ago, and I think that is at least as valid, if more, not more valid, these days.
I see. How lovely.
So should we go ahead and play another one of the songs?
Good idea.
Well, you know, if I have my druthers, just because we were and we are, could we listen to a little excerpt of my latest, which is Cosmic Hum, which asks the question, what if the original sound of creation wasn't an om or an ah or you or any of these other seed syllables, but was literally a hum sound. And Andy and I were down at one of our favorite places, Yogaville, yes?
Yes, Swami Satchidananda's ashram in Virginia, which we teach at every couple of years. And Jonathan was inspired in one of our times at Swami Satchidananda's ashram to do some investigation into this concept of what if that original creative sound was a hum.
So, Mark, this is actually number two, marked Cosmic Hum, I hope. And, folks, the reality of it is this is the sound of what thousands of people humming should sound like, but there are other sounds on this, and I have no explanation about why or where these other sounds came from. I certainly created this in a digital computer, but there were sounds that almost manifested from other realms onto this, including, if you listen, you'll hear a high angelic voice, which I don't know where it came from, but my inner guidance said, don't try to get rid of it. It's there for a reason. So I think that this well may be, there was indeed a head swami at the Yogananda who was also an astrophysicist who looked at me when I actually gave him a copy of Cosmic Hum, and he said, well, of course, all us, or we astrophysicists know that the original sound of creation was a hum. So anyway, let's... And it's also great to hum along with it, so you can experience it, you can listen to it, we can hum along with it. How about that?
And all of those great physiological benefits will be occurring in your body, mind, and spirit.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to – it didn't sound like that was coming through too well, so I think I uploaded it and it got corrupted, and that's what happens with technology sometimes. So.
Well, you know, Mark, it's so funny because I was saying to Andy, I said this may have blown their circuitry because there's so many composite frequencies in there that coming out the airways didn't know if it would work. Kudos to you. Congratulations, my friend, for having for trying this, and it certainly let me know that it is probably not the most, shall we say, listenable recording on the airwaves. But let me tell you, folks, it is a phenomenal experience when you listen to it as a download or on CD and headphones, et cetera, like that. Well, we'll keep talking, and then after that, maybe we'll play a little excerpt from something else. But I know that you have a million questions for us.
We do.
Yeah, so let me go ahead and take a break and just let everybody know. You are listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and you can find us on the Internet at www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And if you guys could give us your website and how people can actually find this great music that we're listening to or not listening to on the show this evening, that'd be great.
Oh, we love to. In fact, it's very easy. Our website is Healing Sounds. Sounds has an S at the end. It's plural. .com. HealingSounds.com. And our website has a lot of educational information about sound. It has, of course, you know, the availability of our recordings that Jonathan has created, our books and so forth. But we also have access to another website called templeofsacredsound.org. And this is a website that we created many years ago where people can actually go right on to templeofsacredsound.org, and we have three different toning chambers, and people can then tone along with all the other people that are toning. Jonathan, you want to talk a little bit more about the Temple of Sacred Sound, especially because of World Sound Healing Day coming up?
I do, but I sense that Mark needs to take a break. Is that correct, sir?
I think we're good. I just wanted to do that announcement of the websites and everything, and that's what we were looking for, and we're all set, so go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you, sir, very, very much. Mark, one of the things that I know that you and Pam are aware of is that everything is vibration. Because everything is vibration, there is literally not a path, a venture, a place that people can go that I cannot sit and talk to them about how sound can improve their health, their happiness, their harmony. And it's quite an amazing phenomenon. So with that in mind, literally we could be talking about anything from the fire department to dog food, and we could bring in the subject of sound. But one of the things that we are so very, very interested in these days is how not only how to use sound as a personal healing modality, which you can find on our obviously website. We'll talk more about this. We use the metaphor of the body being a orchestra that is, if it becomes out of tune, it needs to be basically put back in tune through sound. But we are also now very, very interested in how we can possibly help heal our planet through intentionalized sound. Andy, you think that's a good subject to work on?
Well, that's, you know, sort of what I was segueing into with Temple of Sacred Sound, because one of the topics that we really focus on is what we call global harmonization. And this is actually going to Temple of Sacred Sound, and every year on February 14th, we have World Sound Healing Day. And people throughout the planet, literally now this is our 11th year, gather groups together and they tone the ah sound with the intention of healing and harmony and peace for our planet. And Jonathan, you want to talk a little bit more about World Sound Healing Day?
Well, basically, just very, very quickly, the idea is that it is possible to amplify our electromagnetic field using breathing exercises and sounds so that we can interface with the electromagnetic fields of others on the planet who are acting similarly and actually interface with the Gaia Matrix, Mother Earth, the noosphere, whatever term you want to use, and somehow collectively shift the consciousness of our planet, as well as healing our Mother Earth and the extraordinary holy waters of our Mother Earth. And once again, this use of, for example, sound, an intentionalized sound to change the waters of the Earth have been validated through the photography of Japanese scientist Masaru Emoto, who I'm sure you both are aware of, yes?
Yes, very much so.
Yep. Who has basically taken water molecules, photographed them under a dark field microscope, and shown that healthy water looks like a snowflake, and polluted water or water with ill intent looks like mud.
And then, of course, he took and actually wrote words and taped those words to the vial of water and found that the words themselves, such as love, appreciation, and so forth, actually changed the molecular structure of the water. And that was a beautiful indication of how intention affects water. And, of course, our bodies are, you know, 70 to 90% water. And so having that intention coupled with sound has been quite phenomenally demonstrated through Dr. Emoto's work.
And among other things, including the work of like the Global Consciousness Project, and this is all, a lot of this information is either available through the Healing Sounds website or through one of our, I don't want to call it an umbrella website, but as Andy was saying, the Temple of Sacred Sound, which is the world's first cyberspace toning temple that people can go to 24/7. And we don't even ask for your email address for you to go on there. Just go on there. There are great geometric forms, and you can make sound, and you can help heal the planet. And Pam, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's just that's one of the things we do for World Sound Healing Day is we have collections of hundreds of thousands of people throughout the planet doing intentionalized sound to our Mother Earth as a sonic Valentine, and the effect is measurable and it is superb. I was just having lunch with our young son, and it's not as though it's an overnight light switch and all of a sudden everyone becomes enlightened, but the fact is that there is a gradual reawakening of consciousness, and that's all we can hope for.
Well, Jonathan and I recently had the wonderful honor and privilege of leading a global tone at the exact moment of the solstice, and it was streamed throughout the planet.
Right.
And
it was down in the Upper Festival in Byron Bay, Australia. Oh, yes, indeed.
And it was just a wonderful experience, but we had so many people that were toning with the intention of uplifting and bringing universal love and peace to our planet for the December 21st, 2012 solstice. And we do feel that there was some changes and some definite upliftment.
And were you folks involved in some sort of activities at that time?
I believe I had a drum circle and a bonfire down by the lake.
Oh, nice, nice.
Oh.
You mentioned Dr. Emoto before, and Mark can tell you this. I have a large glass water container in my kitchen with a spout on the front where my kids drink out of, and I keep filling it up. It's got the word love plastered all over it. I should try adding some sound to it, too.
Oh, and yeah. You know, and it was really wonderful when we were down in Australia. Two of the the 13 grandmothers that
are indigenous grandmothers that are
touring the planet, and one of them's major focus was water and healing the waters. And one of the things that she kept telling people is every time you pick up that glass of water to drink or fill up that water glass, say thank you, water. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I think that would be a great thing to do with your water, Pam.
Yeah, we also similarly have a that big jar of water with the you know, pictures and stuff like that on it. So thank you. Hey, Mark, got a question for you, my friend. You still there?
Yeah. I'm just listening, and just it's so incredible to hear the interview unfolding. And as you can tell, I have lots of words here.
Right. Well, listen, we have track number 4, and like catch, and I'm just being guided to ask if you could possibly play that number 1 to see if folks, there are a lot of strange frequencies on this one too, but it also ultimately also breaks into. It's from the 2013 Ecstatic Sonics recording that is more relevant now since we are here, but it breaks into the Mayan chant, En Lakech Alakin, I am another you are another me. And I think on a level, if there was a consciousness that could permeate our planet and the beings on the planet so that we would stop being so greedy and start working together, would be this concept that I am another you are another me. So do you think we could hear track number 4, which does start up with some interesting tuning forks designed to take you through the chakras for the first minute, and I hope it doesn't blow up your system. You never know with these type of things. Rock and roll is a lot easier to play on air, but we'll see. Would that be okay?
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, thanks.
Go ahead, Pam.
That was an amazing soundtrack. I actually put the speaker of my telephone on my forehead and then on my throat. It just felt like that's what I should do during it playing, and it was beautiful.
You know, it's so wonderful, the intuitive aspect of our beings that would just guide you to do that, because it probably really opened things up.
Yeah.
I know that has happened with me in the past.
So. For sure. So thank you for allowing us to, number one, play that, and number two, understanding that most of my recordings are encoded with all sorts of, we did have, you know, singing on there, obviously, and people singing lovely, but there were also these tuning forks that were in this whole harmonically related diatonic series to resonate your chakras and stuff like that, and Lordy knows how that would come over the phone or whatever you're listening to, but that's okay, and that's all good, and thank you again.
Well, thank you so much for creating such a beautiful sound. Let me ask a question to both of you. For our listeners, how can all of us, not being the musicians and the teachers that you are, how can we implement music and sound, which are different, obviously, and I wanted to ask you about that too, but how can we implement that into our lives so that perhaps our lives are a little more sacred, a little more healing?
You know, that reminds me of a quick story that I'd like to share. And this is a very simple, very effective way that one can incorporate sound. I have a friend, and Pam, you'll probably really appreciate this, having 4 or 5 children, I think you have. And my dear friend has 2 children, and they're school age, and you know what it's like in the morning getting ready to get out the door and how hectic and chaotic the environment can become. And I taught them how to simply make some sound, such as an om or an ah. And what they started doing before they'd walk out the door in the morning, they would all hold hands, the whole family, and they would om together, or they would ah, or make some kind of toning sound. And what would happen, it would bring in a balance, and it would bring in a state of relaxation that would set them off for their day. Now, that is just one simple thing that people could do.
And, you know, if you go to our website, healingsounds.com, we have a free 7-minute download. I think it's called something like the 7-minute chakra download, you know, and
it's 7 minutes long,
and it's designed for you to listen to and to start your day. And once again, we just would like to really suggest that two of the major things, either making humming or toning sounds yourself and using intention to direct them. And the one thing that Andy always says, so Andy, why don't you say it now so I don't have to say it for you, in terms of when you make sound, never constrain.
Oh, I didn't
yourself.
Know what you There's so many things I'm going, wait a minute, Jonathan, what were you trying to tell me? Oh, absolutely. One of the important things is what we really, really, really believe is that any sound that you make with the intention of healing, bringing, you know, stress reduction into your life, any sound you make is a good sound, and there's not a right way, there's not a wrong way to make the sound. It is a good sound as long as it is not hurting you or someone else on a physical level, emotional level. So any sound is a good sound.
Now, there's a book that I wrote about 5-6 years ago called The 7 Secrets of Sound Healing. And I wrote this for Hay House, that a lot of people, a pretty well-known company. And the reason I wrote it was that sound, after almost 30 years, was really beginning to make it into the mainstream population. And as the information was getting there, so was the misinformation. I thought, well, at least I am going to share 7 principles that I know to be, for the most part, for myself at least, true. And I would highly recommend, if people are interested in sound, that they be begin to research that. For example, one of our major secrets is
that we are all unique vibratory beings, and therefore the sounds that we make are going to affect us very uniquely to our own bodies, body, mind, and spirits. And that one person may hear a particular sound and it may bring in total harmony and peace. Someone else may hear that same sound and have a completely different response.
Which is why, you know, a lot of people really like a lot of my music. And I'm really, really honored by that, Pam and Mark. But at the same time, if somebody goes, I listened to this piece of music you did and it was terrible, and I look at them and I go, I honor that, without the supposition that there's anything wrong with you, but it simply didn't resonate with you. I have, compatriots and colleagues who claim my music is the only healing music, and that doesn't resonate with us because, once again, we feel that different strokes for different folks, and, you know, they're just, you know, we really need to honor ourselves. I've had the experience where people have been told, this is a healing frequency for you, and they've gotten literally sick from it, and, you know, it just hasn't worked. And I say, honor yourself. You know, if you were to go to a medical doctor and they were to give you some sort of pharmaceutical and you were to begin to have a really adverse reaction, they would take you off that. They wouldn't say, oh, don't worry, your body will ultimately adjust to it. Yes, but at what cost?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think one of my my favorite pieces that I like is from your divine name, the Sounds of the God Code, which is called the Harmonic Revelations.
Oh, yes, yes, indeed. Thank you. That's also one of my very favorite. And that, if I were to go into that, I would say that there's actually a fellow who's making this extraordinary piece of jewelry called iConnect. And what he does, he puts it through probably, I don't know, a 24-level process of vibrational attunement. And the last thing he does is he basically sticks it in between speakers for about a day with the divine name sounding in it. So I would like to thank you very much. And folks, if you are interested, the divine name is first of all, I have a recording that I did with my friend Greg Braden and myself, and also there is a book from Hay House that won the 2011 Best Alternative Health Book called The Divine Name. And from my perspective, this is the single most important and powerful sound that is manifested on the earth plane, but I will say no more. Say no more.
Exactly. But I would like to say that it is a compilation of vowel sounds that Jonathan discovered, this particular order of the vowel sounds, and it's just intoning the sounds, and it's very similar to the divine name.
Okay. I wanted to thank both of you for being on the radio show. I'm going to let you kind of close out with some closing information. I do want to play the last song in closing, so I'll let you lead into that in a minute or so, but if you can kind of just give us any final messages you want to give out to the audience.
Oh, golly.
Well, first of all, just want to say thank you so much, Pam and Mark, because this has really been a fun program. And Jonathan and I, it's our pleasure to have shared our information on sound. And I just want to remind people on February 14th, World Sound Healing Day, to gather people and to sound forth the awe
right.
sound for planetary peace and healing.
And you can do it by yourself or, you know, through using the Temple of Sacred Sound. You can do it with a group having Temple of Sacred Sound in the background, or you can just do it on, you know, around a bonfire going, hey, let's generate some love and compassion to our Mother Earth. And you know what? Every little bit helps, because one of the great, if you like, secrets that I would like to share with you is this. There's a reason the different prayers in all the different traditions are vocalized, whether they're whispered, spoken, chanted, or sung. And this reason is that sound amplifies the power of our prayers. It is that simple, and it is that profound.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
let you pause for that one for a second, because it just is really, really so important. Sound, and we're not talking about, once again, being a diva or Pavarotti or whatever you want. We're not talking about entertainment. That's wonderful, and we love to be entertained, but we are simply talking about using your own voice to make self-created sounds.
With intention. And what I like to share as a closing comment is that the true sound of healing is love. And holding that perspective and that intention in any of the sounds that we make is just totally healing.
Now, Andy said that. That, of course, adds to an addendum to what you're just about to play, but I was about to say something else, so, oh, my gosh, now I'm going to have to think backwards and forwards at the same time. That was said by our dear, dear friend, Sarah Benson, who is at this particular moment in time and space operating off of the angelic realms. But at the time she was doing this recording with us, she was helping us create the crown chakra from Chakra Chants 2, and she's doing a lot of the vocalization while my beloved Andy is playing the harp and I'm doing some of the sounds on this recording. So when your listeners listen to this recording, they may well feel the top of their heads actually vibrating, and that's not an unusual experience, because that's what it was designed to do. But first, I have to give my two sentences of wisdom before we sign off. And again, we want to thank you so very, very much for allowing us this opportunity to share with your audience. Thank you.
We'd like to thank you, too. It was a lovely show, and we so appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
So here's my two sentences. You ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We heal the planet, we heal ourselves. We heal ourselves, and we heal the planet.
Thank you, and thank you both for being on the show. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you.